Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to After Work Drinks, your weekly dose of news, pop culture, and Pinot Noir, brought to you by magazine editors and best friends Isabel Truman and Grace O'Neill. Hello.
Hello.
A bit more we put together this week.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're refreshed. We're ready to go. We're ready to hit the road. A bit more prepared. I feel like so much has happened. I feel like we were thrilled because...
It's been a big week.
It was like this happened. We had like 9 stories to send each other. You got a full slate of stuff.
Most important of all is Gigi Hadid going on a date with The Bachelor. I mean, the Bachelorette guy.
I can't believe this is a thing in America that happens. It's so strange to me.
Well, it only happened once with Sarah Hyland, which was weird enough. But, like, the fact that Gigi Hadid, like, it's so
That's what
weird.
I mean. I'm like, it's so random.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm into it. I don't really know.
Yeah, and he was spotted leaving her apartment, so that's a thing.
I don't like that they do that. I find that a bit off.
Like, what, share
photos? For the paparazzi, like, camp out to see if he stays the night or not. Like, it's a little bit rank.
It's so gross.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Taylor Swift Vogue cover?
The actual cover itself?
Just the whole thing, the interview and the cover and... her being on the September issue.
I really liked the interview.
So did I. I feel like it was one of those things where I was like, oh, God, she's got me back in again, like hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
I'm back on Taylor Swift's side again.
I know, totally.
Is how I felt. Like, she's so... I felt halfway through, I was like, I know I'm being PR'd, but I respect the hustle so much that I'm back on side again.
But I feel like she wasn't even doing that much. The writer was really good at it, at their job.
Yes.
And, like, even when they were, like, Taylor Swift literally felt like talking to me as much as she wanted to get her teeth pulled or something.
Yeah, about the LGBTQ issue. Yeah, it was so funny. But I think some of it, I found her thing about not endorsing Hillary Clinton a little bit. Like,
iffy.
Yeah, I was like, no. I was like, that's just you sitting thinking, what's a good reason I have for not doing that? And that's the best one that you came up with.
Oh, totally. So basically, if like 65,000 people went to the polls after she did a thing recently about Trump, it's like, it would have been a positive thing.
Yeah, she was like, oh, the reason I didn't come out for Hillary was because I thought it would be more detrimental to her campaign than helpful. And I was worried that like Trump would brand us both as like nasty women and that it would be a bad look for her and it would be playing into Donald's hands. And I was like, no, you have so many voters in the South and in those like key areas.
Mm.
that's just a very convenient story you spun. But apart from that, I think the thing with female pop stars is that you have to be constantly reinventing yourself to be relevant. And it's like a shitty thing that they have to do that men don't have to do. But Taylor Swift is just the master of it. She just always creates like a new persona, and then every aspect of that new persona is like meticulously sorted, and then she just delivers that in a package for you, and you're just like, yeah, okay, I can take this.
Yeah, I also totally forget about the fact that she sued that DJ of groping her under her skirt in 2013, and then she accused him of that, then he sued her for $3 million, and then she countersued for $1 and $1. And I, like, love that. Because it was just, she was
like,
no. I was
tearing up about that on the bus. I was like, oh, that's amazing that she did that. We all just selectively forget the good stuff that she's done.
And they said in the piece that it was the most amount of times the word ass has ever been said in a Colorado federal court. Because she was just, like, so angry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm into that as well. I really liked in the piece how she talked about the fact that everyone in the industry loved her when she was a young girl coming up, who just seemed like this cute, adorable country singer who happened to make lots of money. And it was when she became a woman who started making demands about her career and started owning the money she was making and started becoming more powerful, that's when the public tide turned on her and people started to hate her.
Yeah, totally. And how she said as well about making music and writing songs, you know, guys would joke that if they broke up with her or if she broke up with them, that she'd write songs about them and make a hit song. And it's like, it's just not actually that easy to make a hit song. Or I would have made a hit song about my boyfriend who made me bring him butter chicken pies every day.
Imagine. Literally, cool. I knew you were trouble.
Yes. guess where I went this week?
Where? Oh, I know.
To the Fleabag Cafe.
I can't get over what a genius concept that was for them to do that.
I know. Well, at first I kind of didn't understand why they did it, because when I got in there, I said to the guy who was working, this old man with a Hillary's Cafe apron on, and I was like, I feel as though everyone knows what Fleabag is. And I didn't realize that it was because they've been nominated for the Emmys and want people to vote, because that's a thing here. So it's all just about the Emmys.
Interesting.
Yeah, and there's heaps and heaps of billboards up at the moment. Yeah.
You vote for them? Who votes for them? The public?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought the Emmys was a bit more respectable than a popularity vote.
No. So that's why there's Fleabag billboards everywhere, and then the Fleabag Cafe. Because I was like, this is really cool and fun petting hamsters, but I don't understand any of it. Don't understand
why
it's
not in
London.
Was it a real hamster?
Yeah, there were heaps.
Real ones?
Yeah, yes.
I'd be really scared to pick one up.
I picked it up and cuddled it, and the black one was so cute because it would put its head up and I would scratch under its chin, and it loved that little area, and its little buck teeth were coming out.
They kind of make me sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so cute, but then as soon as I patted it, I was like, where is your bathroom? And then spent 10 minutes scrubbing my hands.
Yeah, I just find them really disgusting and I feel bad. But
well, these other people just weren't
person
washing their hands. I think I was the only person that went and washed their hands before I left. So weird.
Yeah, I would have a disinfectant suit on, yeah. But so cool.
Yeah.
So similar. So I recreated the Hamster Cafe from Fleabag.
Yes.
To explain. And you can see all of the pictures on at After Work Drinks Podcast Instagram account.
I know. One of our friends messaged me about the third photo and I couldn't understand what she was saying. It's just a photo of me with a hamster.
Yeah. Do you have a history of hating hamsters that you forgot about?
I'm not sure. No, but you know, yesterday it actually reminded me. I can't remember if I've told this story on the podcast or not, but when I was young, I used to have mice. I had all the animals in the world, and I had pet
you
mice.
Were like a Noah's Ark.
Yeah, I had snails.
Yeah.
And worms.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. Eliza Thornberry over here. But I had a little mouse called Snowy, a white mouse. And I went away, I don't know, for the weekend to my friend's house or something. And then I got back. And what had happened is my mouse had died somehow. Mum thought the best idea, probably after a glass of red wine, thought the best idea would be to go to the pet shop, buy another white mouse, put it in the cage and pretend it was my mouse the whole time.
Oh, Donna. That's not... Did you know?
Yes. I got home and I really? Went into my room and I looked at the mouse and I was like, that's not Snowy. Where the fuck is Snowy? And I picked it up by its tail and ran out crying and screaming. Are you serious? As if your parents would replace your like golden Labrador with another one and be like, there's Buddy.
Yeah, but a mouse is so different.
It was my pet.
I would be so annoyed if you were my child. I'd be like, who gives a shit?
It's a new mouse.
It's a white mouse.
Who cares where the other one
I bought you another one.
Yeah, I came out and I remember her like leaning against the kitchen counter with a glass of wine and I come out screaming and holding this mouse by its tail. She was like, oh God.
Yeah. There we go. She's like, I have kids.
Yeah.
I found another really good podcast that I already sent you, so you already know about, but yep. I think our listeners.
I was like, ooh.
I know. Tell me more. It's called Fashion No Filter. I'd actually heard about it a while ago. It's by Camille Charrier and Monica Ainley, who are two influencers slash just kind of fashion personalities, both super cool, very stylish, and they've started this podcast, which is, I don't know. I mean, I think it started before After Work Drinks, so... I don't want to call it After Work Drinks for Fashion, but it's that kind of concept where it's like two friends, they're talking about the ins and outs of the fashion industry. They're super intelligent and they interview people like Ava Chan and Vanessa Friedman and kind of tackle different topics. And I think because they're sort of in the industry, but also influencers and not tied to a specific brand or publication, they kind of have the freedom to explore things like Me Too in a more free way. Mm-hmm. Like they can kind of tackle talking about the photographers and the people and they can talk about it really openly and honestly. And I just have loved it. I've binged it this whole week. I feel like I've listened to like 7 or 8 episodes.
Yeah, I've listened to one so far and I loved it. But I want to listen to ones when they're not interviewing people as well, just to hear their chat.
Their chat's really good, and their older ones, which they stopped doing because they were like, I'm going to be honest, we just ran out of time because Monica lives in Paris and Camille lives in London. But they used to do a topic, like they did a street style topic, and then they interviewed Caroline Vreeland, Tommy Ton, Scott Schumann from The Sartorialist, a fashion designer, and then they recorded themselves outside the Chloe show, rushing in and talking about all the people they were seeing, and it was just super cute.
So good.
They were like, okay, all the photographers are going psycho. Who is it? Oh, it's Olivia Palermo. This is what she's wearing. She always looks so good. And they're just really positive, which I really like. They just talk so positively about everyone, and they're not these negative. They're not negative or mean, and they're really optimistic. And they were talking about their highlights from London Fashion Week, and they were, Camille said, you know, I never get invited to the Simone Rocha show, but it was still my favorite show because I think what she does is so amazing. Or Monica said, I wasn't invited to the last few J.W. Anderson shows, but I was this year and I was so proud and grateful because I think he's so incredible. Like they're not snarky or mean or putting on airs to pretend that they're more important than they're not or anything. I really like them.
Yeah, I love that because I feel like if it was me or you, I'd be like, great, so take a photo of me front row at Victoria Beckham and then send it to me and I'll put it on my Insta stories.
Exactly. Or we just pretend the shows we weren't invited to didn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even want to go to the night shows. I actually prefer going home and cooking.
And they talked about London Fashion Week, Monica was at the party where Victoria Beckham got drunk and started
yes.
singing. And she was at it and she said, you knew at that moment that you were watching it, that you were just watching history.
Yes. It's like me with The Bachelor.
Yeah, with The Bachelor. Yeah. So that's good.
What is that you're drinking?
Okay, so I got sent at work this week alcoholic kombucha, which I feel like perfectly encapsulates me and you because I feel like it's really healthy, but it also has alcohol.
It's so good. Does it just taste like kombucha?
Yeah, it's actually really delicious. I feel like we're going to be like Welcome to After Work Drinks. How does it go again? Your weekly dose of news, pop culture,
and alcoholic kombucha. Yes. I wonder if I can get it over here. What's it called?
It's called Naughty Booch, which I don't enjoy saying, but that's what it's called. And it's actually delicious, and it's not sweet because I hate alcoholic drinks that are. I always drink wine and nothing else because everything in a can is usually like a Coke with 400 extra kilos of sugar in
it. Yeah, cider is way too sweet for me. I love kombucha though. Anton hates the taste.
No, I love it. Zach was trying to make our own kombucha. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, that was foul.
He made a SCOBY in the house, and then he literally ended up in the hospital with pneumonia, which I know doesn't sound related, but I was like, it has something to do with that fucking disgusting kombucha you were trying to make.
Wait, where did you get it from again?
I got sent it at work, but I think you can just buy it at Liquorland at Coles or something.
Yum.
I know.
I'm just drinking my LaCroix again.
It reminds me of LaCroix, even though it's really different.
Because it's in a can?
Yeah, exactly, because it's in a can and it's kind of got the veil of health around it.
I feel like we should be on the can. A photo of us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
After work, alcoholic kombucha. We should like launch a line of Alco Pops or something.
No, like how the first Jew did the rosé. Skinny bitch
rosé.
Yeah,
exactly. Skinny bitch rosé. What would ours be? After work drinks Pinot.
Yep.
With our logo picture on the front. I would buy that.
I'd buy that. Maybe let's do it.
Buy the hell out of that. Also, I meant to tell you, which you already know, but I went to our friend Ella's birthday dinner last night, and it was such a good idea. What she had, it was horribly cold. It's horribly cold in Sydney at the moment. We've had like a cold snap, so it's freezing and windy all the time. And she had at her house a sit-down dinner with 18 people, and she got it catered, and then everyone chipped in some money and then just bought their own alcohol. And it was the most delicious food. There was like a huge spread, pastas and mac and cheese with truffles and a huge focaccia with like fresh chopped tomato and stuff for bruschetta. It was just heaven. And then everyone was just there until midnight, and it was just really nice, and you chatted to people you hadn't met before. And I was like, why doesn't everyone do this all the time?
But I feel like we always, after we read The Vanity Fair Diaries by Tina Brown, we just kept saying that we wanted to host dinner parties. We kept trying to make it happen, and then we never did because A, neither of us can cook, and we didn't think of the catering thing. So she really won there. And then B, we just never got round to it. But
we're lazy.
But I just love, what I love about that is when you're at a house, you're so much more free. Like, you can go up and sit on a couch. You could put on other music. You could dance. You end up chatting to people you don't chat to. Whereas like at events or at proper dinners, even if it's with 8 people, you still won't talk to the other people at the other end of the table.
Exactly. And you just feel so comfortable and relaxed. You're not being like, oh, we're going to have to leave at the end of the dinner, or how are we going to split the bills, or how, I don't know, we can't talk because this is a crowded restaurant and people can hear us. You can just be really candid and open and chatty. And it's, I don't know, I just loved it. And also on the way out, because she lives in Potts Point, I was getting the train home because I bought a pair of fucking shoes this week and now I'm poor. And
then really tried to sell them to me when she freaked out about not having money. I was like, can you not?
I forgot about that already. I know. I actually can't tell you the Homer's Odyssey of a personal torment that has gone on into this pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. I've never spent so much time thinking about a single thing. But anyway, so I was getting the train home and this really nice couple, because she lives in Potts Point, so it's quite near King's Cross, which can be a bit dodge. This couple were like, are you getting an Uber? And I was with my friend who was getting an Uber. And I was like, yeah, we're getting an Uber. And then I started walking to the train station and they like rolled down their windows and they're like, we knew you were lying, you sneaky bitch. And they're like, let's drive you to the station. They were the best. And then I got in their car. They had this baller Land Rover and they were like, yeah, we just
sneaky bitch.
The girl, she was literally an angel from heaven above. And as they were driving me to the station, they said, yeah, we're just really conscious at the moment because 6 weeks ago, an ice head broke into our house in the middle of the night and threatened to kill us.
Oh my God.
In Mona Vale, even around that area, in a nice beachy area. And he kicked the door 7 or 8 times, and he had a knife when he got into the house, and the police had to restrain him.
Oh my God, that's such an LA thing to happen.
I know. It was wild. So that got me a lift to the station. So, you know, silver lining to everything.
We haven't talked about publicly, and we haven't even talked on Skype about this, but I met Grace's other best friend last week.
Yes. How was that? I felt a bit nervous. It was like a blind date set up almost. I know. Phaedra messaged me. She said, I feel a bit nervous, but I feel embarrassed about that. And I was like, no, it's going to be fine. Yeah. Coaxing her through.
When she arrived, it was funny because she said that she sent that to you and you were like, it's going to be fine. And then to me, you messaged me and you were like, I'm quite nervous. What if you don't like each other? You were just picking who to offload to.
Yeah, I was like, I can't say that to her because it's just going to exacerbate her anxiety.
No, but we got along so well, and we're going to, from next week onwards, she's taking over as the co-host of After Work Drinks.
My God, I was so worried this would happen, that you'd hit it off on the outer.
We actually hit it off so much. I was like, how is one human just so pretty and smart and kind and fun?
I know. She's an angel. We met when we were 12 or something, and she's just one of those people where you're just going to be friends forever.
But the reason she's I'm a telling nurse, you.
She's the best sounding board for me whenever I complained about stuff at work, because I remember once I was like, oh, I had a really shit day about something stupid. And I was like, sorry, how was your day? And she said, oh, it was okay. We had to amputate a man's gangrenous toe. And when the surgeon cut it, it flew across the room, and I had to get on my hands and knees and find it.
I know. She was like, I see balls every day. And I was like, oh, my God.
And she said, she was like, to the doctor, I think I'm going to faint. And he screamed across the room, toughen up, Phaedra.
Oh, my God.
As he was stitching it up.
That's so disgusting.
It's the worst story I've ever heard. And I was like, I can never, ever, ever complain about work again in my life. I'm so sorry.
It was so funny because we went to this little French bistro called La Poubelle. And I've been there pretty much every day. It's my new local, and they have a very good happy hour. And we had happy hour drinks there. And then I was sort of planning on heading home, but Fades was only in LA for 2 days. So she was like, come on, let's go to another bar. So I called my friend who's always out, and we went and met up with her at this other bar, and there are a bunch of quite cool people there, and me and Fades were a little bit drunk, and Fades literally cornered one of them and was like, this is how you find out about cancerous cells. and I was so...
The next day, and she was like, I just had a flashback to last night when I was talking to someone, and I was telling him how a cancer forms in a cell in vivid detail, and I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, me and her were talking about nursing for so long.
It's so funny, but it's interesting. I'm fascinated by it. And I also, I just think that sometimes I feel like it's so dumb that I feel like we get more positive feedback on our job than nurses who literally spend every day saving people's lives. And people are like, oh, cool. And then you're like, I work at a magazine, and people are like, wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. How did you get into that? It's actually so interesting learning about nursing, to be honest. I'm very, very into it.
Yeah. When I got my surgery done, and it was such a small surgery compared to what a lot of people get, it just gave me such an appreciation. A lot of our friends from Perth that Fades is in the group with are nurses, and it just gave me this complete newfound appreciation for it, because when you're going into a surgery or something, you're so nervous and anxious, and, you know, a nurse who spends her day with people with like way more serious health concerns than you could very easily just say, don't worry, or be kind of annoyed that you're making a big deal out of nothing. But I had the nicest girl who was so helpful and so funny and so cute, and it just completely changed the whole experience for me.
And also nurses just
at the last minute and are just like blah 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 and whatever. Like, the nurses are the people facing girls who make the whole experience either good or bad, I feel.
And also nurses are the ones that actually know all around the board knowledge about everything, whereas doctors usually specialize in one thing. So my housemate had an operation the other day, and she called her dad, and her dad was just like, what, wait, they didn't give you that? And he's a doctor, and he had no idea what was going on. And then she called her mum, and her mum just gave her all this advice and told her what to follow up with the doctors and what to do and how many days rest she needed and all of these things. And she was like, my mum knows so much more than my dad.
That's so good. Mm. We love nurses.
Love.
Oh, I quickly want to talk about, which I know you haven't read yet, so it's annoying, but Colson Whitehead's new book. I just finished it, and it's one of the best books I've ever read, and I couldn't recommend it highly enough out of everything that we've recommended on this podcast. Colson Whitehead is an African-American writer whose last book, The Underground Railroad, won the Pulitzer Prize, and Izzy recommended it to me and gave me the book, and I stole it. Mm-hmm. Apologies. It's actually being adapted into a TV show by Barry Jenkins. Huh. Who did Moonlight. Yeah. I know that because I listened to an interview with Colson Whitehead on Fresh Air, which everyone should listen to as well.
I love it, but when that happens and you read something and then you just want to, like, learn everything about them.
Yeah, it's fascinating because this book, it's called The Nickel Boys, and it's about one of those kind of horrendous reform schools where the boys are beaten up and treated really terribly, and it's about a young black kid called Elwood who is really ambitious and wants to go to college and kind of... He basically hitches a ride to go to college, and it turns out the guy he's hitched a ride with stole the car, and he gets implicated with it, and he gets sent to this reform school, even though he kind of did nothing wrong. And then it follows what happens at the school, which is horrendous, and then him at different decades later in his life and all the ways that, like, he just couldn't ever fulfill his potential because he was so scarred from what happened at the school. But it's actually based on a real-life school.
Oh, my God.
Colson Whitehead was working on another book, and then he read this news story about this school where they'd been excavating and they'd found all these unmarked graves of young boys at this school that had been around since the early 1900s, and then started investigating and realized that there had been just horrendous abuse going on, mainly violence, like physical violence against these boys for decades and decades, and then survivors came out and started speaking out, and then that inspired him to write the book. So it's very loosely based on a real place.
That's so crazy. That's like an island. I'm going to butcher this because it's just popping into me off the top of my head. But an island, how the young woman who got pregnant, because they're so Catholic there, they were sent to those boarding schools to have the kid, and then they would take the children away from them and put them up for adoption. But then heaps and heaps of the children would die, and there'd just be all these unmarked graves in the back. Mm. And then now there's all still women trying to find their lost children.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the things that they did in that era is just so revolting, and there was no accountability, and it just fucked people up for life. That's kind of the best part of the book, is it shows you, yes, this thing is horrendous, but this 1 year period in your life can completely ruin your entire future.
Mm. It sounds like a depressing read, like sort of like a Little Life is.
Yeah, I'm only a few chapters into A Little Life, but it reminded me a lot of it. It's quite depressing, but just so amazingly written and quite lean. Like, you could rip through it pretty quickly.
So is this you trying to start an AWD book club?
Yeah, I know no one's going to fucking read it. And that she's going to read it next week, and everyone's going to be like, wow, great recommendation, Izzy. Loved The Nickel Boys.
No, you know what, though? Books just take a long time to go off. You just got that book like the week it came out, whereas A Little Life came out 4 years ago or something.
Right, but I'm right on the pulse with this one, so you know.
Here we go, breaking news.
Breaking news. Izzy, we've talked a lot on this podcast about the link between anxiety and social media. I mean, a lot.
It's something we're both super aware of, especially since we both suffer from anxiety.
And pay a little too much attention to our Instagram grids.
It seems to affect young women especially, which is why we're so proud to be partnering with Sports Girl on their Be That Girl campaign, which was created to help dismantle some of the more unrealistic standards that exist in the age of Instagram.
SportsGirl are encouraging women to celebrate and share their extraordinary images, the small moments in the everyday that make you happy, instead of everything being so curated and perfect.
And I love that they've partnered with women like Flex Mummy and Jade Tunchi.
The thought of being able to post whatever you want on Instagram instead of worrying about what filter makes your left elbow look better is so appealing to me.
Totally. It's Clarendon, by the way.
Thank you so much to Sports Girl for sponsoring this episode of After Work Drinks.
Head to sportsgirl.com.au to find out more about Be That Girl.
What?
What?
Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth have broken up.
What? Is it confirmed?
Someone just posted it in AWD.
Breaking news. Real breaking news. What's going on? This can't be real. Is People reporting it?
Yeah, People. A rep for Cyrus told People
that the couple agreed to separate. What?
Holy shit.
Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth split. This is so annoying because when this episode comes out, it would have been 4 days since this happened, but you guys are hearing it as it's happening.
I know. I was like, we're not going to cut this. You're getting a red hot live read of what we're like when we're hearing this. It's crazy.
I feel oddly emotional.
I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Wow. Oh, she wasn't wearing her... you know those, how I sent you those photos of her yesterday and I was just like, this one's really feeling herself at the moment. She just kept posting like the funniest photos where she's dancing around in her bikini. She's not wearing her wedding ring. Apparently. That's when the rumors started, and then a rep confirmed it.
Far out. They only got married, what, 6 months ago?
Oh, my goodness. And also, they're just the cutest couple in the world.
I know. I thought that they'd, like, had their breakup and got back together and that they were going to stay together forever.
And bright news, Liam Hemsworth's on the market.
Izzy, this is not the time. Show some respect.
I know.
Wow, I'm actually upset about that.
Me too.
One of my favourite celebrity couples.
I'm upset about it because I love how Liam Hemsworth just seems like such a surfer dude who doesn't care about fame, doesn't care about anything like that, and then he just goes out with the most crazy girl who just is out and about, completely herself, and he just loved her, and she just loved her boring Australian guy.
I don't understand what could have happened.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
In a six-month period to end a marriage, like,
I know, it's so weird. It's so weird. She's looking very good at the moment.
Yeah, she is.
That body. I'd already told you, she was so bad when I saw her live.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
He was just like, I can't deal with this embarrassment.
I can't deal with watching another one of your live concerts.
It was actually, so I was so excited to see her, and it was so bad. I couldn't even convince everyone to stay for the whole time.
Also, I was talking to my girlfriend on Friday night about she went to Glastonbury this year, and she said Kylie Minogue live at Glastonbury is the best thing she's ever seen in her entire life, full stop.
Do you know the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life? It was also at Glastonbury, and it was Dolly Parton.
Yeah, right. Similar vibes.
Mm. She had it.
Those unexpected people.
She had on a full sequin jumpsuit and was telling us all about who Jolene was.
Heaven.
And then she was...
Who Jolene?
Yeah, and then she was going on about how, at the time, she was like, don't try and steal my man, and now she's like, just take him. I don't even want him, Jolene.
Please take him off my hands.
Yeah.
He's such a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sorry. R.I.P. to... They didn't even have a couple name, did they?
And also props to Kate Lancaster, who is like the breaking news editor of After Work Drinks. Our friend.
Oh yeah. And then this morning in crazier news, she broke to us that...
Jeffrey Epstein has died by suicide, which is... That was one of the news stories that I've read and been like, whoa.
Well, yeah, and also everything that I'm replying in real time to...
You see my face? I'm literally like...
I'm replying in real time to Miley and Liam splitting.
I know, I've delayed responses, but I'm scowling.
I'm on our AWD group messaging everyone.
I'm like, get off.
Everyone who's heartbroken. So Jeffrey Epstein dying. I also thought that he was on suicide watch, but apparently the New York Times has said he wasn't, which is weird because he tried to commit suicide 3 weeks ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The whole thing, it was really shocking to me. It made me feel a little bit sick and sad. I don't know why. I felt like some sort of collective culpability for it, which I know is completely wrong and not the case. But I don't like this gleeful, some people were like, yeah, yes, that's what he deserves. And I was like, I don't think we should ever be thrilled or happy about someone committing suicide.
I felt really sad for all of the victims who would have woken up to that news this morning.
Yes, I think that's a very good response to it. I think it meant that they didn't get their time to face him in court and get justice. And I don't think it's an added kind of emotional burden to them on top of everything else.
And so many people, in every single post that I've seen about Jeffrey Epstein dying, so many people are like, well, that's too crazy. That it can't be a coincidence, because literally that day, all of the documents were unsealed. It's going to implicate hundreds of really, really powerful men. And so basically these Instagram detectives are saying that he probably didn't commit suicide. They're thinking he didn't commit suicide.
I know, there's an insinuation that he's been, like, knocked off by the mob. But I mean, I think that kind of thing breeds conspiracy theories, but I just don't know. I don't really understand, unless something absolutely wild comes out in those sealed documents and I'll change my tune. I mean, I just don't understand what... I feel like he's more likely to commit suicide because of something that's in those sealed documents about him. You know what I mean? And that's why it relates to that date, rather than because, like, if the documents are open anyway, why would someone then...
Yeah, I kind of thought, but obviously I'm wrong, that because he had died, that now the documents wouldn't be read out because they were being read out for the court case. Or is that not true? They'll still be, obviously, they're unsealed now.
I think they'll still be, yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I think some people have said it'll stop him from testifying, but I think those documents that they're talking about, they're not even necessarily Jeffrey Epstein's individual testimony. They're just all part of a larger case that related to a lot of people. So I understand the allure of a conspiracy theory, but I also think people are running quite rampant with it, but happy to be proven wrong, as always. This could very easily be an episode of American Crime Story season 6 or something.
I'm very excited. Sorry about all of the noise, if anyone's noticing it. I'm just going to ignore it. I have American housemates everywhere with friends around. It's Saturday night. And then I don't know what else is happening. It sounds like my building's falling down.
Yeah. It's even four. I don't know if we'll keep it in. She's like, I feel like I'm in the middle of an earthquake and Coachella is so loud here.
Yeah. And I'm locked in a steaming hot room. Oh.
And now you're doing, like, yoga positions on Skype to get comfortable. And your face has a nice sort of glossier glow to it.
It's sweat highlighter.
Yeah, one of the few benefits of the heat. But, yes, I was like, we need to talk about this, which is the new American Crime Story.
Beanie Feldstein.
Beanie Feldstein is playing Monica Lewinsky in an adaptation of A Vast Conspiracy by Jeffrey Toobin, which I had coincidentally, I'm halfway through reading.
Of course you are.
Isn't that so random? But it's not that random, actually, because Jeffrey Toobin wrote the OJ book that they adapted.
Oh, the one that you loved.
Yes, and that was what the People vs. OJ was based on. So it makes sense. He's a really good writer.
And Monica Lewinsky is one of the producers, which is great.
I just cannot put into words how much I love that woman. She is the best. Her on Twitter is just heaven.
I love Sarah Paulson as well.
Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp is just inspired casting. And I love that no one knows who's playing Bill Clinton, because everyone's like, whatever.
Yeah. So good.
That's going to be amazing.
I booked tickets to go and see Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets at the Hollywood Cemetery in 2 weeks' time. FYI. Just a PSA.
That is the most random. It's not even a segue. Just fact. I love it, but so, so random. And so random that the Hollywood Cemetery is doing a screening of Harry Potter 2.
Yeah, you know how many people I'm going with? Like 30. That's how many of us care.
Are they doing each of the movies or just that one?
I think just that one.
God. I'm wondering what the reaction was in LA to all this Soul Cycle Equinox drama, because I feel that LA would have been hit the hardest by the boycott Soul Cycle movement.
Yeah, it actually was. It's crazy. My friend Steven goes to Equinox, which is just the unofficial LA gay gym. So I messaged him. And he was quite devastated. I don't think he'll give up his membership. I think he'll just like kind of disguise himself and go in there. But I've never been to Soul Cycle before, and I've wanted to go. And it was in the last 2 weeks that I was getting preached at to go to Soul Cycle. And so I've been texting my friend trying to organize when we were going to go, because it sounds incredible. It sounds like...
Yeah, it sounds really intense. So basically, just to give context, if you haven't heard, a part investor, kind of silent investor of SoulCycle and Equinox, was revealed to have had a really large-scale Donald Trump fundraiser at his house in the Hamptons last week. And it was like $150,000 a ticket, and people were making seven-figure donations to the Trump 2020 campaign. And so when everyone found out, they were like, boycott Equinox, boycott SoulCycle.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, and then snuck into the gyms anyway on Saturday.
Yeah. So basically that was me. I texted my friend and I was like, at least the glasses will be empty now. Because the thing is, the guy's, yeah, he's just like a silent investor. He doesn't really have all that much to do with it. But it is crazy. I mean, there's probably a better way to just hate on him. He also, he's also a part investor in Mama Fuko and Majordomo, which are David Chang's restaurants.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, when you're a billionaire, you're an investor in lots of stuff. Like, it's kind of hard to boycott every single thing that they're a part of. But there was a fascinating, amazing piece by Philip Picardi, who was the ex-Teen Vogue editor, who wrote a piece for Business of Fashion. And Stephen Ross, who's the Equinox Soul Cycle guy that everyone's up in arms about, what he said was actually the more interesting thing is that he was part of this $500 million development of Hudson's Yards in New York, and that they are moving New York Fashion Week permanently to Hudson's Yards next season. And he's saying that if you have a problem with him and what he stands for, the fashion industry should put their money where their mouth is and not give all of this money to this new development that he's created. And he's encouraging people to boycott any events at Hudson's Yard this Fashion Week in September. Prabal Gurung, the New York Fashion Week designer, was going to host a big 10th anniversary show at Hudson's Yards, and he's pulled out and released a statement saying that it's completely not in line with anything that I believe in, and I refuse to show anything there. So it's kind of taking off. It's
wow, amazing. That's so good.
It's so interesting. And he basically wrote about the fact that Stephen Ross's wife is a jewelry designer, and she's part of the CFDA, and she posts all over her Instagram stuff about women's rights and women's rights to choose and LGBTQ rainbows and all this stuff on her Instagram grid. And he said it highlights the hypocrisy of the super elite, where they refuse to see the connection between hosting a fundraising lunch for Donald Trump and posting about all these social movements that are only underway because Donald Trump is in power and is rolling back rights for all these marginalized groups. He was like, that's just a privilege you get when you're mega wealthy to be like, oh, I can do both, and it's not hypocritical.
Oh man, that's so crazy.
I know, but it's gone viral. I'm just so happy and inspired and impressed by him that it's gone so off.
Last week we mentioned that the Victoria's Secret show, it was rumoured to have been cancelled when Shanina Shaikh said in an interview that she wasn't training for it this year. And then since then, a few things have happened. Firstly, Victoria's Secret's first transgender model was confirmed, a girl called Valentina Sampaio. And she's
so beautiful.
Yeah,
she's stunning. More beautiful than any of the other angels put together.
She looks like Sarah Sampaio. They look very similar.
Yeah, they look very similar. Yeah, is she being made an angel?
No, she was just booked for the brand's pink campaign. She's just in a campaign. But it's the first time they've ever hired a transgender model. And then straight after that, the brand's, what's his title, chief marketing officer, Ed Razek, has resigned. And he was the one that was kind of rumored to be like responsible for the brand being so behind the times and being so anti.
Did that horrendous interview with Vogue last year where he was like, this is a fantasy and a fantasy doesn't include people of other sizes and transgender women and really rough. And he was so much a part of that Victoria's Secret brand. Like, you know, when all the models used to post, they'd be like, at Victoria's Secret, at Ed Ruzick.
Mm-hmm.
He just had himself at the nexus of everything.
I actually did an interview this week with my friend, our friend Mel from Sydney Morning Herald, because she wrote a big piece on Victoria's Secret about how it's too little too late for the brand. And she wanted me to talk about it because I went last year.
The first thing I thought when they announced they'd cancelled the show this year was that Izzy had potentially gone to the last one ever.
It's crazy, eh? I just do think that it is too late. I just think that they had a chance. You have to be so quick. They had a chance to make a change and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, and there is something incredibly tokenistic about hiring your first black angel and hiring your first transgender model in a six-month period after you've got heaps of backlash. It just seems very reactionary and tokenistic, and it's kind of, to me, the worst possible way you could go about salvaging your brand afterwards. And I do think that Victoria's Secret had this time and place that where we all loved it, but I was rewatching some of the footage this week at work, and it just felt really, really outdated to have a whole horde of mega thin, mega tall women, scantily clad, walking down through a pack of like cheering men and women. But you know, it all just felt a little bit old fashioned and kind of weird, just all of a sudden. It's kind of like in the last 18 months, it's just flipped and started to feel super dated.
And even with the show, because everyone was saying they needed to hire plus size, I feel like them hiring Barbara Pelvin, who is at best an 8 to a 10, was their attempt, and then making her an angel after she walked in 2013 or something, and then they didn't hire her back, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then all this backlash happens, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're fine.
And they literally try to make out, like, the English model they hired, I don't even know her name, Alexandra something, that was diverse because she was a redhead.
Oh,
they literally try to suggest that.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. It's just so crazy. And I'm like, it's not hard. And it's also really frustrating because that would be such an amazing platform to have a super diverse runway.
Yeah, I know.
It would make such a statement to the broader industry to do that. It could spotlight some incredible plus size models who we're not yet aware of. It could really, the angels have such a power to catapult a model into international stardom. I don't get why you wouldn't use that power to do something really positive and make a strong impact about diversity in fashion.
And the annoying thing is that they've actually have been, like, as a positive point, they actually have been really racially diverse since right from the offset. They've always had women of all different races, but I'm just like, why on earth would you not have women of different sizes or different genders? Or, you know, it's just like so weird.
Also, it's worth mentioning as well that this actually links to Jeffrey Epstein, because that was another really bad bout of PR for them, was that in the Jeffrey Epstein implication was an associate of his, I think his accountant, who we mentioned last week, used his connections to Victoria's Secret to tell women that he was doing castings at his house and then sexually assault them.
Yeah, and
and that photographer, yeah.
And what Diet Prada came out with that photographer, Timur Emak, and he would say that he was shooting Victoria's Secret models in the Bahamas and then get all these young models to come over, and when they arrived there'd be none of the Victoria's Secret angels that they were promised, and then they would hold them on the island, and it just sounds horrible. Well, it's sex trafficking, so
like a year of very bad press for Victoria's Secret. I'm sure they're having a few crisis management meetings about
I know. I saw someone, I don't know where I saw this, but someone wrote something brilliantly where there was a headline saying Victoria's Secret are trying to figure out what to do now that Ed Ruzick has resigned or left. And someone wrote, here's a hot tip, hire a woman.
Yeah, literally, for a lingerie company. Like, and also I read, finally, I got my hands on the British Vogue issue with Karlie Kloss on the cover, and I read the full interview with her. And that was another thing that was kind of serendipitous timing, where she said that she didn't make a big song and dance of it at the time, but she left Victoria's Secret because she just felt like it didn't mesh with her values and it didn't mesh with the vision of herself that she wanted to put out to the world, and the ideas in it is not what she wanted her young female fans to see.
Yeah, and at the time they said it was because she was busy with uni.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
She's such a smooth operator. I'm a big fan of hers.
She's so clever.
So clever. Asked her about Donald Trump in that interview, and she did such a good job of dodging the question. I feel like she's a little politician in the making.
What did she say?
Because Elaine Welteroth interviewed her, and they're both judges on Project Runway.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it must be awkward dinner with the in-laws.
Yeah, because Carly's husband's brother is Jared Kushner, and he's Josh Kushner.
Yes. Yeah, and her and Josh Kushner literally go to rallies against Trump.
So crazy.
Crazy. But she said something like, I just focus on, it can be difficult, but I just focus on the values I share with my husband, and that keeps me strong, or something. Some real, like, dodge the question answer.
So, so good. It's so funny. I feel like they weren't even invited to the wedding.
Really?
I don't think so.
If they did, they kept them well off
well,
social media.
Ivanka, you're banned from your phone.
Yes. Also, actually, quickly on that, I read a really great piece in New York Magazine about Ivanka Trump after we'd already been talking about it, and they've just launched a 10-part podcast, a deep dive into her and her relationship with her dad. They interview 60 of her friends. They look at, like, how her positions have shifted since she got into the White House, and how she's basically just sort of gone more and more and more into the right-wing circle because all of her friends from the New York elite have just abandoned her and don't want to talk to her anymore. So she's just embraced the right because they adore her. Apparently there's a whole campaign to get her to run as his VP in 2020.
Oh, because my God.
The right-wing contingent who are obsessed with Donald Trump are obsessed with her.
Hmm.
There was a quote in there from one of this Republican guy who said, there have been brilliant women in history like Angela Merkel and Queen Elizabeth I, and there have been beautiful women in history, but very rarely have there been beautiful, brilliant women, and Ivanka Trump and Cleopatra are two of them, or something.
What?
It was like the most insane quote you've ever heard. It was just disgraceful.
Yuck. She is the worst.
Don't you feel like when we talk about these things, everything is so 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah.
It's Carly Kloss related to Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump, and then Carly Kloss worked with Victoria's Secret, and Jeffrey Epstein was friends with the Clintons and with Donald Trump. Now Jeffrey Epstein's in jail and he's committed suicide, and that's been linked to, like, royalty and prime ministers. Like, everyone's so fucking connected in these, like, power positions.
And that's what the Daily woman, Megan Twohey, how she was saying that she was investigating Weinstein, and then Weinstein led to, no, and then she was investigating Trump, and then now she's investigating Jeffrey Epstein, and all three of them know each other and are connected, and she just had no idea.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm going to say this very quickly because I know that people don't care. It's another one of my rogue suggestions. But I have been watching on Netflix, it's called The Last Tsar, and it's basically like a Netflix series that just came out about the last Tsars in Russia and, like, Rasputin and all that stuff, and I love it. But it kind of just reminded me that this whole, we've kind of just recreated the aristocracy thing now, but we just call it by a different name. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, rich, powerful people have always just had all the power and have been able to use their wealth to exert power and have just had weird advisors that they listen to for weird reasons and make crazy decisions, and the people just kind of have to deal with it or revolt against it. And I don't know, I just thought watching this, it's all about this guy who's in a gilded palace who kind of has no idea what he's doing but has inherited this job, and every decision he makes is kind of wrong because he's got no idea what goes on in people's everyday lives. And I was like, the whole Trump thing just feels like aristocracy again.
Yeah, and that was it, a business of fashion piece I read, or another one, and it said that off the back of the Hamptons fundraiser that the Equinox and Soul Cycle guy was doing, that Trump's campaign has raised $101 million and Bernie Sanders, who's the top Democrat nominee, has raised $37.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
exactly.
Like, who's going to win?
Yes. This is what I mean. It was like that documentary we watched last week about targeted advertising. Like, Donald Trump literally just funneled hundreds of millions of dollars into manipulative Facebook ads and then just won.
Yeah. Well, the yeah, he's going to win because he has enough money. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. You shouldn't be allowed to just have more personal money and then win things. It's not fair.
That's what I mean, but that's just how the system works. So annoying. I hate Donald so much this week. I just feel like the joke is over and I just need him to be out of office.
You know, it's crazy how many we forget because we are so surrounded by like-minded people. It is just crazy how many people. Like, I met someone the other day who lives in California who was like to me, I'm a Republican. And voted for Trump.
I had
a couple of wines and was ready for bed. And I was just like, I cannot deal with this right now.
I know.
What? You're a
just
woman?
Just what does he have to do now to put you offside? I just don't understand.
Mm.
Like those pictures of him at that El Paso hospital holding a baby orphaned by a mass shooting by a man who was inspired by Donald Trump's words.
Mm.
And he's got his thumb up with the baby.
Yeah, and that viral video of the girl crying because her parents have been detained because they're doing all the raids. So yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, I know.
God, it's a depressing episode. Trump, Miley, and Liam. I'm serious.
I know, we started off on such a light note and it's just kind of gone increasingly downhill and depressing by the end.
I can't actually deal that they've gotten a divorce.
I'm really, really surprised.
Me too.
Really
surprised, shocked, sad, angry. Frightened. Wow. Okay. Shall we wrap it up? I've got to go and read more about this. Split. I actually, did I tell you when they got married that I got drunk and watched the last song?
Oh God, really?
And I fell asleep halfway through it and the next day I was like, what's going on here?
What happened last night?
Yeah, last night got buck wild. God, E! News just knows how to, like, go crazy on Instagram, eh?
What did they do?
They've posted about 17 photos from their wedding already.
Oh, my God.
Ever evolving, changing as partners and individuals, they've decided this is what's best while they both focus on themselves and careers. They remain dedicated parents to all of their animals they share. It would be me and Anton if we split up.
The public service announcement.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They've posted so much.
Yeah, and then if you scroll down, it's Camilla Marone taking a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio in the spa.
That's so cursed.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap it up and see you guys next week. Please rate, review, subscribe. You know the drill?
Yeah, keep doing it. Don't stop.
And please share on Instagram stories. Also, today I lost Instagram likes. They're gone.
Oh, my God. It's finally happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very free. I've been doing stuff like sharing a book I'm reading.
I was going to comment on it last night, but I thought you might get upset. So someone's really going for it with the likes removed. Just a book
yeah,
on the table.
No. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly
what's happened. I feel so free now. I can just be myself.
I've stopped posting anything, so that's me being free.
I'm starting to feel now like we need to be like late to the party influencers, but we definitely missed the boat.
About 7 years too late, but
literally 7 years too late.
We started a podcast right as it was almost too late. Really,
I know.
Now we really, if anyone starts a podcast, it's like that is not a thing that people do anymore.
Exactly. I know. We did so well.
Right on the cusp.
On the cusp, yeah.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh my God. I'm so hot. I'm going to turn this fan on. Thank you.
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.